Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tales Over Tales, our Christmas edition. It's me, it's Jordan.
And it's Alicia.
Oh, my goodness. And it's the day after Christmas we're recording.
Yes.
I'm so happy I get to see you.
Me too.
How was your Christmas?
It was good. Very quiet.
Okay.
Which was nice. We had a little party at Mom's the other day, but you know, it was good. Christmas Day was very peaceful and quiet. We just hung out in bed and watched Harry Potter.
There you go.
It was great.
I love it. Oh yeah, my gosh, I'm all for a Harry Potter marathon.
Yes.
That is for dang sure. Well, should we share some highs and lows?
Yes.
And then we get into this book, The Christmas Sisters by Sarah Morgan.
Very excited.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Share a high and low since the last time we recorded.
Okay. Let's see. So high, so my kids pretty much have like birthdays back to back at this point. So my son turned 10 and my daughter turned 1 and we just had so much fun just like planning that party, but I'm also very excited that it's over.
You did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great time.
Thanks. It was a lot, but it was good. I'm also on winter break from school.
Yes.
So okay. I get 2 weeks to not have to worry about
enjoying
essays.
That break.
Yeah, it's great. Let's see. Low. I don't know. I feel like everything's been going okay for the most part. Well, I mean, so husband and I are kind of going through a little patch right now, like nothing too crazy. We just haven't really been able to do like date nights and everything like that. We've just been on, you know, baby 24/7, which is fine. Like we love it, of course, but
I feel like it happens to a lot of couples.
Yeah, it does. So I just feel like that's probably one of my lows. So yeah. But other than that, everything's been pretty good.
Okay.
Can't complain. What about you? How's life going?
Oh, it's going pretty well. Oh my goodness. Let's see. What have been some highs and lows since the last time that we recorded? I feel like, obviously, anybody that knows me really well knows that the holidays are my favorite time of year. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. And getting to spend time with family, getting to reconnect with my husband while he's been home on holiday has been really nice. Mm-hmm. So those are probably some of my highs. Even just today, actually, I didn't get a chance to share with you before we started recording, but we worked on a couple house projects today. So once you and I are done recording, I can take you around and kind of show you a couple little things that we
love
did.
It.
And so that would be my high. Definitely my low. You know, it's weird to say it this way. Can I say that my low is just that I feel very deeply for others that are maybe not as fond of this time of year or that have a little bit of a harder time with this time of year. You know, I know a lot of people that are going through different things right now. Mm-hmm. So I would have to say my low would just be that I grieve for them. I feel for them and want to be able to be there for them any way that I can.
Yeah.
But I want to acknowledge while the holiday season is this wonderful, beautiful, magical time. At the same time, we know that that is not the only thing that can take place this time of year, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that would be probably be my low,
yeah,
to be completely honest.
No, that makes sense. I get that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you've got a summary for us. Before you do, should we share what we are drinking?
Yes. guys, listen. So we
love our cocktail consultant, okay?
Yes.
Honey, you are wonderful. I adore you.
Yes. So he made us this Scotch
coffee, Scottish coffee, basically. Yeah. For those of you who know what, like, an Irish coffee mm-hmm. is, what we decided to do, it's a twist. So rather than Irish whiskey with coffee, we did Scotch or Scottish. It's a Scottish coffee, right? Because our book we're covering today takes place in the Scottish Highlands.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think we put a little too much Scotch.
It's a little strong.
It's a little strong. I got some hair in my chest. growing from it.
But manly. Manly like that Scottish Scotch. Anyway.
Yeah. That's better.
With every sip. Anyway, no, I do appreciate my husband, Mark, being our cocktail consultant. He is wonderful. And basically, if you do want to give this a try, if you're an Irish whiskey fan, if you're a Scotch fan, I mean, you can make it Irish coffee style, but literally we just threw in a little bit of brown sugar, some black breakfast roast coffee, and
your peppermint mocha creamer.
It was peppermint mocha, zero sugar creamer, because we had sugar with the brown sugar mm-hmm. and just whipped that all up together with the Scotch, and there you have it.
Here we go.
So we're going to sit back, relax, enjoy. We are going to talk to you about The Christmas Sisters by Sarah Morgan. Take it away.
Yes. Well, before we get into the book, what were your initial thoughts on the book? How did you like it?
Ooh, let's read the summary and then I'll share my thoughts.
Okay, yes. All right. The McBride sisters, Hannah, Beth, and Posey, have always done their best to weather any storms life throws their way. From childhood, these sisters are bonded by the tragic loss of both their parents simultaneously. Left under the care of their mother's best friend Suzanne, and her husband, Stuart, the girls are adopted and raised. When we are first introduced to Hannah, Beth, and Posey, their lives can be described as nothing short of a hot mess. The eldest, Hannah, struggles to navigate grief, vulnerability, and impending motherhood with an unplanned pregnancy by her boyfriend, Adam, a coworker and man of her dreams. At the top of her game, professionally, because that's her most comfortable space, how can Hannah possibly open herself up personally? Beth, the middle McBride sister, has settled pretty comfortably into her life as the perfect wife and stay-at-home mother of two, but she misses the corporate world, the purpose that comes with it. Torn between the desire to stay at home with her lovely daughters and a return to the workforce, Beth's marriage to Jason is on the line. Posey, the youngest and most spirited of the three, faces the battle between seeking adventure and the responsibilities of home. Though she is the youngest, Posey is considered the most dependable and reliable by her family. That is, until a relationship with Lucas takes her on a journey even her wildest dreams could not have fathomed. Set with the backdrop of the absolutely gorgeous Scottish Highlands, the story is told from multiple points of view. The Christmas Sisters is a story intended to remind us that love means taking chances and sometimes risking it all can be worthwhile.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I do want to hear your initial thoughts, but I will share. I thought, first of all, the imagery from this book was phenomenal. Sarah Morgan is just a very descriptive, well-versed writer when it comes to describing the location and everything that's there. It's just so magical and so beautiful. I mean, I know I want to visit the Scottish Highlands, that's for sure. How did you feel that this book was told from multiple points of view?
So I would say for me, so as you know, I'm not a big fan of multi-view when it comes to books, but I think this one though was done really, really well. I loved just the transitioning between like the sisters' sides of their stories and how it just blends in. And we even get Suzanne's point of view too, and you know, throughout the book also, which I absolutely loved. But I agree with you about the Scottish Highlands imagery that she also describes in the book. She really did it so well. I even looked up some images of it.
I did too.
And it was like exactly how I thought it
was. So dreamy.
It's so pretty. Like, take me there, stick me in a cabin with some wine and some books, and I'm good.
Happy as a clam.
Happy as a clam. Happy as a clam can get. But no, I thought it was actually, I thought it was done really well. I really appreciated it.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Any other kind of initial thoughts that came to your mind? Was there, ooh, I like this question. Before we get into the plot of it a little bit, which of the sisters did you find you connected with most?
I don't know. That's kind of a hard one to say because I can understand Beth's point of view for sure because, you know, I am a mom. However, I couldn't imagine being a stay-at-home mom. Like, I know my sister, she's been doing it for 6 years now. Beautiful niece and nephew. But I couldn't imagine just being in the house day in and day out doing the same routine with kids. Like, I feel like I would be Beth in that sense where I would miss working. So that's kind of where I if a little bit with her. Like, that's kind of where I fit. I also feel like I fit in a little bit with Hannah also, though, in some senses. Too, just because of the grief when it comes to family in general, like,
or even just stuffing a lot of things emotionally.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely that also. Which brings up kind of an interesting like tangent here for a quick second, but my husband and I, we were talking the other day and he was mentioning to me about how I have this wall up when it comes to like my parents. And it's just so crazy because him and I have had some really good talks about my childhood and how my childhood was very traumatic. I didn't have the best childhood. And I sometimes forget that, you know, I don't remember a lot of it because of the trauma, and I never got to actually be a kid, you know, and I had to grow up fast. And because I went through a lot of stuff, I went through a lot of situations where I had to grow up, and, you know, not having my parents there was always hard. So I didn't realize it until we had a talk, and he was like, no, he's like, you have a pretty good wall up, you know, when it comes to your parents. And he's like, I mean, it's rightfully so, but he's like, you just have to learn to break that wall down at some point. But yeah.
Well, that makes me think a little bit about Hannah and Suzanne as well then. And we can get to that in a little bit. Thank you for sharing that so vulnerably. I definitely see that for you, for both of them. For me, I certainly, being the youngest, absolutely resonated with Posey.
Oh, yes.
For sure. There were probably like personality quirks or aspects where I found I could connect to or relate to any of them. Because I'll be honest, there was not a character in this book not to fall in love with. I mean, let's talk for a moment about Suzanne and Stuart.
I love them.
They're just so wonderful. And the sacrifice that you make, you know, you, so to give context for you, listener, in the book, we learn, and we'll get into, is it Cheryl and Rob? Yeah. We'll get into Cheryl and Rob. So they are the biological parents of Hannah, Beth, and Posey. And they were adventurous souls, adventurous spirits. They mountain climbed. They just were very obviously nature-driven, mm-hmm. outdoorsy people. And from the beginning, it did seem like Cheryl and Suzanne shared this, like, really good bond, mm-hmm. this great connection. They had been friends for years, and Suzanne was there when this avalanche, mm-hmm. basically takes out both Ron and Cheryl, and then two other hikers as well. Mm-hmm. So, and what's so eerie about it, listener, for context, you know, there at the end, like, Cheryl had asked Suzanne, would you take the girls if something were to happen to us? Not that anything is going to happen to us. Ron thinks we're invincible, right? We're going to get to Ron. We're going to talk about Ron. But I mean, that conversation between Suzanne and Cheryl, yeah. would you take the girls? And of course, Suzanne's like, in a heartbeat. And so their lives are uprooted, right? Their lives are just forever changed. Stuart was originally from Scotland. They were living in North America. They were living in Washington State, mm-hmm. at the time. And that's where the avalanche took place. And then Suzanne and Stuart make the decision after the accident happens, and they have officially attained custody of all three of the girls. You know, Stuart is like, we're going home. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to go back to Scotland. We're going to go to family. We're going to be with a village.
Yeah.
A community of people, mm-hmm. that can support us, which I think was such a smart decision. And you learn, I don't know, each one of these characters certainly was unique in the sense that they fit their roles.
Oh, yeah.
Very well. Mm-hmm. At least I thought so.
Oh, yeah.
And Beth, for instance, I mean, she is your typical quintessential want to have it all girl. When we meet the McBride sisters, Beth and Hannah are both living in New York. Mm-hmm. And before traveling back home to Scotland for Christmas, it's obvious that they are operating on different playing fields. Like, Hannah kind of dodges Beth a lot. Mm-hmm. They don't get to connect as often as they would like, but there's so much fear and there's so much insecurity that's embedded, right. in that, right? Beth doesn't think that Hannah wants to spend time with her because all that Beth does is she's a mom. And Hannah thinks that she's kind of not good enough for her sister. Like, she doesn't want to take her sister away from living her life and doing her thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The sister dynamic,
yeah.
resonated, I think, for both of us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
I connected, at least as far as my relationship with my sister, mm-hmm. I actually thought of Hannah and Posey a lot more,
yeah.
than Beth, yeah. and Hannah,
right.
or Beth and Posey. I don't, mm-hmm. know. Do you want to weigh in on that at all? Because you have three sisters.
Yeah.
I have one, mm-hmm. still.
I know. Yeah. And that's what's so funny about it too, because I feel like we're definitely the sisters here. So Beth is my sister, Natalie, because Natalie is the stay-at-home mom. Posey, even though she's the youngest, that resonates. My oldest sister, Steph, who is,
oh yeah,
adventurous. You know, she is looking to do a 12-month stay in Europe thing right now. She's
ghost.
I know. So she has like a lot of plans for travel things next year. So she has all that going on. And then I feel like I'm very much Hannah. You know,
okay.
Yeah, I'm very, you know, it just, like you said, we definitely resonate, these sisters, with how their personalities are. So that's, I think that's also why I enjoyed the book so much, Because while I was reading it, I was like, gosh, this sounds like us. It's kind of like funny, but you know. So yeah, that's where I am with that. That was so cute.
Well, let's dive in a little bit to the couples in the book. I mean, we touched briefly on Suzanne and Stuart. We'll get a little bit more to them.
Yeah.
One of the couples I feel like that's easiest to talk about in this is Beth and Jason.
Yeah.
So, listener, there's some miscommunication, some misunderstanding from the very beginning between Beth and her husband, Jason.
Yeah.
They have two very sweet girls, Ruby and Melly.
Yep.
And Jason just got a big promotion. Beth gets this call from her previous employer, Karina, and she takes an interview considering the opportunity to go back into the workforce, all while Jason is thinking, are we ready for baby number three?
Yeah. And she's like,
Okay, listen, that knockdown, drag out argument between the two of them, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Listener, I'm not even kidding you. Your expression is like, I tossed the book.
Yeah.
No, I didn't toss the book. I about put the book down and clapped my hands for Beth when she literally starts packing her bag and says, I'm going to go home to Scotland. You're going to stay home with the girls.
Yep.
If you think that my job, my role, my life here is so easy that we can just add a third child into this mix, buddy, you don't have a clue.
Yeah.
So have fun trying to figure it out. Nice. I'll see you in about a week and a half.
Yep. I know. That part was so good. I didn't throw my book either. I think this is the only book. Wait.
Listener, she has not thrown the book.
I know. We need to make merch for that, by the way. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But no, same. I was so proud of her that she was like, no, it's not as luxurious as you think it is, because you get to come home to the good part. You get to come home after I've already settled the kids down and fed them and gave them their bath. Like, you get the good parent part of it, and she gets the not best parts, but also the not best parts. You know, she's dealing with temper tantrums, she's dealing with the scheduling and getting them ready for the, you know, there's so much more to parenting than he realized. And when she was like, you take care of him for a week, you let me know how it goes, and then you tell me if you want baby number three after that, because it's not easy.
Okay, but what were your thoughts about his side of the argument, too, that it was a little selfish of her to not consider the logistics behind going back to work?
I think. So, I don't know. I feel like when it comes to, I mean, I have to look at it from the example that I see with Natalie for my example. I feel like he should be supportive about it. Like, she's already mentioned before, too, that they have his mom who can come in and watch the girls. So that way, you know, she can go back to work. Easy. You know, said than done. But I don't know. I didn't like his attitude about it. I really didn't. I feel like he definitely should have just been like, yeah, if you feel like you can do it, like, you go for it. And if you feel like that's something you can't do and you want to come home, then fine. Like, I'll support you. But he was just so like right into, oh, I got a promotion, baby number three. Not, well, what do you want to do? You know, he didn't give her that consideration.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I agree. So he missed the mark a little bit there.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, if you didn't read the book along with us, I mean, eventually he got there.
Mm-hmm.
It took a little bit of time for him, right, to figure out what being a stay-at-home parent like that is really like. It's not just supposed to be this sunshine and rainbows or unicorns all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, that's a little bit of background about Beth and Jason. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about like how all of the couples wrap up in a little bit here, but Hannah and Adam, I mean, I thought it was adorable. I loved them. Adam definitely seems to like be this perfect type that brings Hannah out of her shell.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want to push her too fast, too hard, too quickly, mm-hmm. and at the same time encourages her to come out of her shell.
Yeah.
In so many ways, which I thought was really beautiful, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. He calls her pizza dancing girl.
I was just about to say that.
So basically the way that Adam and Hannah end up connecting, they meet through work. They're, you know, mutual colleagues, coworkers, and they're both staying late at the office one night. He orders a pizza while they're working. She claims she doesn't eat carbs. And it turns into this really long night where they've got this great conversation. They kill a pizza and put music on, they're dancing, blah, blah, blah. And like, that's how their relationship starts, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's so bold. I think it's so brave of Adam as a character too, when he puts himself on the line. Mm-hmm. He's also like, hey, I love you. I'm in this with you. You don't even have to return those feelings mm-hmm. just yet, but like, know that I'm here and I'm in this.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, no, I know. I love them too. Because I love that we got to see both sides, or we got to read about both sides of Hannah, because we get this timid, you know, girl who lost her parents and she's just cut off and she works herself to death to avoid her emotions. And, but then we get the side that Adam gets to see, which is this fun, vibracious pizza dancing girl, like you said. And it's just, it's so nice to see. And I just find it, you know, so we definitely also get to see that point too, where he's like, I love you, you know, I'm in this with you. And she's like, you know, hold on. Like, I'm probably there, but I'm not there. And, you know, she's going through her own emotions, but she packs all of her emotions in herself. You know, she's dealing yeah. with this, am I pregnant? Am I not pregnant? Thing too, like majority of the book, which I just, can I just say though, that part kind of made me a little upset that they had dragged it on so long.
Oh.
And then it was like, she didn't tell Adam that she was pregnant until the end of the
book.
That's
the part that bothers you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they just dragged it on for so long. And I'm like,
I think that some of that had to do with her character, though. Mm. And here's what I mean by that. I obviously cannot speak from a space of having children myself. Mm-hmm. But is there or is there not a period or a window of time where you sort of have to safeguard this information for yourself? Mm-hmm. You're taking it in and you're processing mm-hmm. that you are physically building and creating a life, mm-hmm. a whole life
yeah.
inside of you.
Right.
And for Hannah, who we'll just go ahead and get into her story for yeah. a moment, being Ron and Cheryl's oldest daughter, mm-hmm. she also was the only one of their three daughters who struggled to really connect with her parents.
Yeah.
She wasn't that adventurous, spontaneous spirit. She didn't care for mountain climbing and nature or being outside mm-hmm. as much, right? I mean, she enjoyed all of those things. She would have rather been with a book. Yeah. She would have rather done other things. Mm-hmm. She would have rather had a roof over her head versus living
in a tent. Yeah.
So to have this man in your life that tells you he loves you, he cares about you, he's there for you, all while you're also trying to process from that space where you never felt truly accepted by your own parents, mm-hmm. that you're about to become
a mom.
A mother, mm-hmm. you're about to become a parent. Like, I don't fault her for sitting with that mm-hmm. information
right.
for however, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something that gets slightly fuzzy-ish through this book. I mean, is, you know, sort of something of the timeline. We know that obviously it's takes place during like the week of Christmas, obviously, mm-hmm. and all of those things, but like the actual timeline itself is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you want to weigh in on that at all? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, I get it. That is true, though. That is a good point about the timeline, though, because it feels like it's dragging on for days on days on days, but in reality, it's probably just like...
I think we actually are getting, like, a sequential play-by-play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I also, like, I get where you're coming from, though, like, when you're so emotionally guarded and you kind of have this... you know, these feelings about how you were raised and you're guarded and you're shielded from all of that trauma. And I get that to some degree, because I know that's how it was for me when I was pregnant with Leland, because I was young. I was 20 years old when I found out, and I was not in the best relationship. And so coming from a family who I dealt with plenty of parental trauma growing up. It was terrifying to tell them, you know, but did I want to tell the person that I was with right away? Yes. Like that was the first person that I wanted to tell. I did want to safeguard though, telling other people though, until I felt like it was my time to tell. This time with Viv, of course, was different because I'm grown up and I feel like I've allowed myself more free will and, you know, letting my guard down a little bit with her. But yeah, I guess I can see where like you're coming from with that for sure.
I just think that Hannah's very reserved. She's very timid and mm-hmm. she didn't know mm-hmm. what to do with that information. Also though too, and this is again, not a space that I can speak from, but like you also kind of contemplate the best way or mm-hmm. the right way to share this information with your partner, right? Yeah. And so how do you navigate mm-hmm. that
yeah.
as well? Because she wasn't going to do it over text. She wasn't going to do it over phone. Mm-hmm. Like that just wasn't, they had been together, according to the book. I mean, they had been together for months
yeah.
by this point. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't know. Yeah. That's just my own two cents. Yeah. Okay. Posey and Lucas.
I love them.
They're just so wonderful.
They are. I know. Oh my gosh. They make me melt. I love their relationship. They're just so cute together. They're both really adventurous. And he was like, come to the U.S. and come hike with me. Oh, I just love them.
They were so good. I love them too. So to give you a little bit of background, again, listener, for Posey's story. So Lucas happens to be a guest that is staying at the inn, which Suzanne and Stuart run. And they run an inn, they run a cafe. Lucas says he's, you know, visiting the Highlands over the holidays because he is writing a book. And he shares that he's writing a book. Oh my gosh, is it on climbing? It's different research that he's doing mm-hmm. about different peaks and things that people...
Trails and hikes. And yeah, he's like doing a whole research book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We will get to more of what we find out about him.
Yeah.
Okay, I did write this down in our notes. I just wondered where Posey's name came from.
Right?
It's a very interesting name.
It's so
I don't not like it. I do like it.
It's just so different.
It's almost like, what's her name in It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. Oh my gosh, it's on my shelf. I need to go look it up because now I can't remember. But it's also another interesting, just kind of one-off name.
Yeah.
Go ahead and I don't know, share more about Posey and Lucas. I'm going to look this up for
a second. You're like, I'm going to do some research. No, so he's there doing his like little book and whatnot. But so as like the story goes though, and he's just there like hanging out. I just love them. But
So her name is Lily. It's the guy's name, Atlas.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. I do appreciate when writers have just unique interesting names. And then Ryle.
Oh yeah. Ryle.
I forgot these names. Anyway, we're not talking about It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. But anyway, go ahead.
No, it's fine.
More Lucas and Posey. Give us more Lucas and Posey in our lives because they're just so cute and sweet. Okay. Do I go ahead and just ruin the spoiler?
I was about to ask you
Okay.
I mean, we can because I mean, it's important. It's an important piece.
It is
of the story.
So we also come to find out, listener, closer to middle end of the book.
Yeah.
Lucas is actually the son of the other two climbers who died that day with Ron and Cheryl. So he had intentionally sought out Suzanne and Stuart, wanting to make amends, wanting to not necessarily tie up loose ends or anything like that, but have a conversation, an opportunity to connect over their loss, if you will. And the problem with this obviously becomes it's very late in the game by the time that everybody learns about this. So by this point in the story, Hannah and Adam are even, like, Adam has chased after Hannah. He's come to the Highlands.
Which is that Jason, part?
Oh my God.
So we're going to just rewind here for a second. So
I know we're getting carried away.
We're getting carried away here. So Hannah is, so, you know, all the girls are together now, right? For Christmas. Hannah is in the shower. Posey at this point knows that Hannah is pregnant. So we've already figured all that out.
Yes.
And then, so Posey goes into the bedroom to water Eric, who's the tree that she named, which is great. I need to remember that next year to name my tree.
Oh my God, that reminds me. I have not named my Christmas tree.
You better start thinking of names.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so anyway, and Adam calls.
Yeah, so Adam calls and Posey answers. And he's like, hey, pizza dancing girl. And like, that's how he like answers the phone. And she's like, who the heck is this?
I could literally picture myself as Posey in that moment being like, what the fudge?
Yeah.
Like,
who are you?
Who is calling my sister's phone? Who's calling my sister pizza dancing girl? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And he basically, she tells him jokingly.
Yeah.
But also, like, not jokingly at the same time. Like, oh, come to Scotland. Like,
come chase your girl. Like, if you want her, come and get her. And she was
totally, she's with Eric.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, she spends her nights with Eric. And he's like, what? So he takes that very literally. And he shows up. But he shows up. No, so that is when the whole thing with Lucas happened. And we find out that he was the son of the other two hikers. He was raised by his aunt. And his aunt, for the longest time, held a grudge because she kind of blamed Suzanne for that. So while they were talking, Suzanne sent the girls out to, you know, so that way she could have her time. And when they come back is when Adam is there. And it's just, that was great. Perfect timing.
It was so, yeah. Yeah. So to tell you, we find this out about Lucas late in the game. And by this point too, Jason has brought the girls to Scotland.
Looking a hot mess.
Oh my gosh. He lost Bugsy. He freaking lost Bugsy.
Listen, I understand, okay? I understand the terror of losing a stuffed animal, okay? Because, I mean, I know my daughter isn't old enough to, like, understand what it means to have, like, an emotionally attached stuffy yet.
Is she attached to anything at this
point?
No,
she is. So, she has a bunny, okay? She has a bunny that my mom got her when she was a little itty bitty tiny baby. And we're like, okay, perfect. She's going to like grow up with this. It's going to be her little like thing that's going to shred through everything. Anyway, so I have lost this bunny once already. And I lost my mind as if it was my doll that I lost, even though she would have, she had no mind to it. She forgot it existed, but I panicked for months until it magically reappeared. But point is, I get it. If you lose a stuffy, it's a big deal. Okay. It's a big deal.
Okay, but what did you think about the tip or the trick, like, of buying multiple?
So I need to do that because I almost lost her bunny again the other day at Native. So I think I need to definitely get in on that tip and buy a couple of backups.
Just saying, you never know when you need to do that.
No, definitely not.
Oh, my goodness. So, all of this to say, as you can hear, listener, I mean, the story does basically end up pretty well. So, we've touched on Hannah and Adam. We've touched a little bit on Beth and Jason. We've touched on Posey and Lucas a little bit. Bringing it back to Suzanne, because the book is also told, so we mentioned it's told from multiple points of view, all of the females. It's not told from any of the male point of views that I can remember. So we do get to hear a little bit from Suzanne's point of view. Mm-hmm. We get to hear a little bit about just her past, the issues that she had with Ron as the partner and husband of her best friend, and Ron just being this smarmy weasel of a guy. Like, he was not considerate or thoughtful of anybody else's health or well-being, which is a really big deal, especially when you're in the field, when you're in the industry as a guide. You are a mountain climbing guide.
Yeah.
You have people's lives in your hands.
Literally. Yeah.
It drove me crazy. But from Suzanne's point of view as well, something else that we really get to kind of connect with, probably more so for you as a mom. I mean, I still felt that I related and connected with this a lot. Suzanne was a worrywart.
Oh, yeah.
That did bother me a little bit. She was always worried about not only the girls just, like, having their lives together or anything like that, but, like, Christmas had to be perfect. And that is very stressful.
Yeah, no, I know. And that was something where I kind of giggled at too a couple of times when she was like doing decorations and Stuart is helping her. And she's like, oh, maybe we should put this here. You know who that reminds me of? That reminds me of my mother. Now that I'm thinking about it. My mother. Okay, listeners, listen. My mom, when it comes to the holidays, her house has to look pristine, and it has to look like absolutely nobody lives there. Like, she's very, very picky about how her house has to look for the holidays. And she has decorations galore just everywhere. It's like a really fancy department store there. It's like literally what it reminds me of. But I just thought that was so funny how Suzanne and Stuart literally resemble like my parents, because yeah, my mom's that way too. It's, she likes one thing 1 minute and then she has to change it the next. And my dad's like running back and forth to the store trying to find her what she needs. Yeah, it's, I get it.
Well, and then when she got sick,
yeah,
when she ended up under the weather, I, listen, my hat's off to Sarah Morgan as the writer. That was obviously an intentional choice, mm-hmm. because when the control is kind of out of Suzanne's hands, mm-hmm. and she's like, all my girls are here, I want to take care of them, I was going to do this, I was going to do that. And even Posey's like, Mom, like, I will do what I can off of your to-do mm-hmm. list. But listen, even for me, your right hand, your second in command, mm-hmm. your like go-to girl mm-hmm. for running the cafe, taking care of the land, mm-hmm. all of these things that we've been doing, like, it's too much.
Yeah.
You're doing too much.
I know. And I thought that was so funny, Jen. Thank you for bringing that up too, because when Suzanne got sick and she was like trying to get out of bed still, she was trying to do everything. Literally my mother, because my mother got sick too before the holidays, and she was out for like a good few days, and she was like, I need to bake, I need to cook, I need to get gifts still. And I was like, well, tell me what you need and I got you. So I just thought it was so funny how when this book was going on, it was literally my life living it at the same time. So yeah, it's stressful, and I can't imagine how it's going to be when my kids are older and they come to visit me for Christmas. I hope I'm not like my mom though. Like if I have a bit of a mess in my house, like that's okay. I don't want it to look like no one lives there and it's a department store.
Well, I mean, you say that now too. Uh-huh. And it's like at the same time, our moms, I don't know. I know you probably feel the same way about your mom that I do. About mine. I have to look at it with the attitude and the perspective, like, she's doing the best that she can. Mm-hmm. She is always doing the best that she can. And that was another thing too, as far as Hannah and her relationship with Suzanne. So we can kind of get into that a little bit. Yeah. It was a lot easier for Beth and Posey, because of how young they were when their mother died, when both their parents died, it was a lot easier for them to accept and receive
yeah.
Suzanne and Stuart's love, their support. For Hannah, being a little bit older, it was very challenging. And there's a part in the book that Hannah and Suzanne are like finally able to have a conversation about mm-hmm. it, right? And Suzanne shares, you know, just how terrible she felt and how she was, you know, just always trying her best for Hannah and wanted Hannah, you know, to see how much she loved her and how much she appreciated the opportunity mm-hmm. that she got to have. Sorry. Like, that's something from Suzanne's point of view. Like, she felt so guilty.
Yeah.
That she got this gift of raising these really amazing, beautiful girls. Mm-hmm. And that opportunity was taken away from their biological mother.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Hannah had lived her life being told that she was a burden. Mm-hmm. And how could she accept or receive love from this couple who, yeah, may have from the outside willingly taken them in, but at the same time, and Hannah put it very well, right? I think in that conversation with Suzanne, she tells Suzanne, like, your lives changed overnight. Mm-hmm. Not only did your lives change overnight, but you had to adjust and to change so much that I felt like I was a burden. How could I accept or receive your love when... And there's more to it with that, obviously, as far as Hannah and just the dynamics in her relationship with her dad, mm-hmm. with Ron. Like, she didn't really know, right, mm-hmm. what that, like, unconditional, genuine, sincere love really felt like.
Yeah. And I think that's, like, something else, too, where it's a good perspective from both angles, because here we have Hannah, who feels like she's always a burden. She's grown up thinking she's a burden, and anything that she's gonna do in her life, Suzanne and Stuart aren't going, you know, maybe she thinks they're not gonna be proud of her. You know, I'm sure with a lot of, like, the emotional turmoil, there comes that part of it. Whereas Suzanne and Stuart are like, no, we love the heck out of you. Like, you know, what are you talking about? You're crazy. But so aside from, you know, getting that point of view with Suzanne and Hannah's really good conversation, we also got a bit of a glimpse of Stuart too when Adam showed up and Hannah was hiding and Stuart was like, do I need to kick him out? Do I need to kick his butt? Like, you know, what, like, you need to tell me what you want me to do. And oh my gosh, I know that melted my heart.
That was what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
My heart melted.
Yeah.
Stuart literally comes to Hannah and says, this is your choice.
Yep.
He showed up mm-hmm. unannounced. Yep. He showed up uninvited. Mm-hmm. This is my home, but this is your home as much as it is mine.
Yep.
What would you like me to mm-hmm. do?
Yep.
Because you tell me to send him away, I send him away.
Yep.
You tell me that you want him here, mm-hmm. we give you the space, the safe space to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I know. And it just, that just right there, you know, it just shows how much unconditional love, like, Suzanne and Stuart gave these girls. Like, mm-hmm. they became their parents overnight. And I couldn't imagine from Suzanne and Stuart's point of view too, you know, they loved hiking. They wanted to go on adventures. I'm sure there was so much that they wanted to do with their lives, but they never looked at the girls like they were a burden. They were like, no, like, you are our kids now. Like, let us raise you. And it just absolutely broke my heart throughout this book, how Hannah was just so emotionally scarred from how her dad looked at her, that she felt like she couldn't be loved, that she was a burden. And here Suzanne and Stuart were, they're like, no, like, let me love you. Like, oh, like, break your walls down, come here. And, you know, let me show you what unconditional love really is. And I feel like that moment with her and Stuart definitely broke that barrier. And then when she had that conversation with Suzanne, she was like, and then she called her mom. And I was like,
I know. Listener, Hannah finally calls Suzanne her mom. Mm-hmm. Throughout the entire book, she refers to Suzanne as Suzanne. Mm-hmm. Of the three, she's the only one that does not call Suzanne mom. Mm-hmm. And that way, oh my gosh, I absolutely loved that. And even so going back to Beth and Jason mm-hmm. for a second, while we kind of try to wrap things up, listener, I promise, I know we're going a smidge long tonight, but what did you think about, like, their conversation finally? I appreciated just the rawness and the realness mm-hmm. where they did finally listen after a week and a half, almost 2 weeks with his daughters by himself. Mm-hmm. Jason was like, oh, I see what you mean. If you don't want to have baby number three, mm-hmm. listen.
Yeah.
That is.
Okay. Yeah, I know. And then at this point too, because I know that it was like a conversation. He was like, if you want to go back to work, then go back to work. But it was at this point too, though, didn't the girls tell Beth, like, your employer is a bit of a bully? Didn't they have that conversation already too?
It was Hannah.
Hannah, yeah.
So So Beth, Hannah, and Posey are like all connecting and they're having conversations about the different things going on in their lives. And Beth tells them, yes, I'm thinking about going back to work. I'm thinking about going back to work for Karina. And that's when Hannah was like, why would you do that? That is the dumbest decision I've ever heard. Hannah says Karina's a bully.
Yeah.
She is a bully. And she makes such a valid argument to Beth when she tells her, I am a manager. I know what it means to manage people. Mm-hmm. I know what it means to work with other people. Mm-hmm. Karina does not.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I love that conversation between them too, on a side note. But going back to her and Jason, though, I just thought it was so funny how they described him when he came in with the girls, that he looked like just a mess. He hadn't shaved. He looked like a mess. He was freaking out because he lost Bugsy. The girls were wearing what they weren't supposed to wear. It just, everything just had went right out the window, and he was just so open with her, and I loved that because he was like, yeah, you're right, you know, it is hard. He's like, I didn't realize how hard it is to be a parent and just come home and have the good parts. And I just love that he realized that that's how it's always been for him. He's always had that special treatment with the kids because he came home when they were already settled and he got to be there to love them and be like, okay, good night. And he didn't have to really deal with them that much. So now that he got a taste of that, he's like, okay, I get it. Like, if you want to go back to work, go back to work. If you, you know, don't want another baby, that's fine too. And yeah, I thought that was pretty. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I feel like that is everything that we kind of had for the Christmas Sisters by Sarah Morgan. Everybody should just plan a trip to the Scottish Highlands now at this point. I don't know if I would do it in winter,
no,
to be perfectly honest with you. I hear really great things about the springtime and summertime, so I feel like I would probably go then, but anytime, I'm sure. It just would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I feel like during the winter time, it would be a little bit of a nightmare.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, good. My goodness. But before we get into a little bit of end matter, oh my gosh, we totally forgot about the film/TV movie segment. We did find out, though, listener, that this book actually has been made into a made-for-TV movie.
It's kind of-ish. It's on, I think, Hallmark or Lifetime. But it's so the girls come for, like, Suzanne's birthday, though. It's like
it's not Christmas.
Yeah, it's not Christmas. It's, like, a totally different plot.
And they changed the name of the movie. What was it called again?
It was called the March Sisters at Christmas. Was that the one?
No, because it didn't even take place at Christmas. The North something.
Oh, that's
North to something. I think. I don't know. But I feel like a dingbat that we did not conclude our segment of the film TV, like who we would see.
North to Home.
North to Home, listener. It's called North to Home. I don't even think I know anybody that's in it. Do you know anybody that's in it?
No, we don't know anybody that's in it.
Nope. My goodness.
Says Suzanne McBride and her three daughters reunite in Alaska for a memorable birthday celebration that connects their past to the present.
Yeah, it just was really different. I did watch the trailer. I'm pretty sure it's available to stream. Mm-hmm. I'll probably give it a try, but I won't go into it with high expectations. To be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. I did picture this book as a Hallmark movie.
Oh, for sure.
100%. I can tell you who I would think of for Lucas. What's his name? I think his name is like Tyler something or other. Hold on. Oh, what the heck is his name? Not Tyler Hilton from One Tree Hill. Tyler Hines. He's been in a ton of Hallmark movies.
Oh, yes.
Tell me he would not make a great Lucas.
He would make a good Lucas. Or,
he would make a good Adam, too.
He would. Chad Michael Murray, I feel like, would be another good option.
I could see him as either Jason. As either Jason or Adam. I don't know as much about Lucas.
Yeah.
He has played a Lucas in his life before.
Maybe that's why it was like, why does it sound so familiar though? Hold on.
I'm envisioning the entire One Tree Hill cast now for this TV movie segment. Oh my gosh.
It's okay.
We'll do better at this next time.
Yeah.
Oh my lord. Okay, should we get into some end matter? So before the end of this podcast, we will share. It's going to be 2024.
I know.
For those of you that didn't realize.
In literally days. Wait, like,
just a few days. To give you some context, listener, we are recording this the day after Christmas.
Yes.
And life is just one of those really weird in-between spaces right now where you don't know what day of the week that it is. And you're just trying to get from one moment to the next. Yes. Anyway. Our January pick, oh my gosh, guys, we have finally decided to do a repeat author. I'm so excited.
I am too. I am very excited because this author, chef's kiss.
She's so near and dear to our hearts.
Chef's kiss. As you guys know, we had reviewed The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Oh.
Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yes.
Every time.
Say it again.
My heart.
Yes.
Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yes. I feel like I need to reread that book. Anyway, so for January, we have decided to pick up another Taylor Jenkins Reid book, and we are going to be reading and reviewing One True Loves. And I am so excited.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait.
Yes.
So, listener, you better make sure that you are reading along with us. If not, that's cool too. Make sure you share with us what you're reading. We would love to hear from you. Review, leave us comments. We want to hear what you're thinking and even just how your holidays were. My gosh. Sometimes in this bubble, I mean, don't get me wrong, this podcast in a lot of ways feels like a book club, and that's how we wanted it to feel. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to feel low stakes, low pressure, just a lot of fun and an opportunity to talk about really amazing books with incredible women that we love. So anyway, I would also be remiss if I jump ships up for a moment. Allow me, because I know he asked for a shout out and I have to do it. So we told you about what we were drinking at the top of the episode, listeners. Our cocktail consultant, bless his heart, he made a Scottish coffee for us like we talked about, which, not gonna lie, probably not my favorite. But he did put this lovely, delicious cup in my new favorite coffee mug with some backstory to this. So I'm a big Sarah Bareilles fan, and he accidentally broke a coffee mug that I bought as memorabilia at her last concert tour back in 2019 before COVID. Mm-hmm. And this Christmas, my stocking stuffer was a replacement coffee mug. So I'm super, super grateful to be reading some fabulous books while drinking coffee, probably not Irish coffee, probably not Scottish coffee, but regular coffee from this wonderful mug. So thank you, honey. I do love you for that. And I shouted it out for you. I called it out just like you asked me to. Yes. January 2024, One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid. I think this book is going to be sensational and I am super excited. Abigail should hopefully be joining us for that month as well. So you should be getting all three of us, which is going to be great. Again, please, 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 your reviews mean so much to us listeners. It is great when we get to hear from you. So shout us out, let us know, share with your friends. We look forward to connecting with you. You can find me on Instagram at Miss, that's MS, Jordan Alexis.
And you can find me at Alicia_Turner. And I also started a Bookstagram.
Oh, look at you, ma'am.
I know. It's been so fun. But you can find me at Ali.reads.turner. Go check me out. I have a lot of content coming up, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, until then, next time, stay reading.
Stay classy.
Oh, I said it wrong, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You're supposed to say stay reading. Did you say that already?
I think I said it right. So okay. Maybe this Scottish coffee is just getting to us.
Maybe.
Do we try it again? We'll try the sign off one more time. There we go. Stay reading.
Stay classy.
And as always, stay drinking.